Okay, yeah. So, welcome everyone. Is this volume okay for you? You can hear me okay? That's great. So I think the first thing to check with you is if at any time I say any words or any phrases that don't make sense to you and you want either a translation or you want me to repeat it, then just interrupt, you know, just like wave. Like I'm not on a... you don't pay me per word or anything. I'm happy to repeat myself. I'm happy to make myself easily understood. Yeah. And if anyone actually wants everything translated, I think that's also a possibility. So you can decide that at any point. Like you'll notice I have a British accent. You know, you might be used to more of an American accent and be able to kind of understand that accent easier. So, you know, it's not your fault if you can't understand my use of this language. So just let Sagibna, yeah, just indicate to Sagib that you'd like that, and or just come up and you'll go to the back. Okay, great. So if anyone thinks they need that, then you know already, then we can arrange that. If not, we'll flow on. Okay, so the second thing I want to say is make yourself comfortable for listening. Yeah, like be comfortable as you listen to this. Yeah. And, you know, this is a whole series of trick questions I'm about to throw on you. So don't worry if you feel like I'm shaming you. I'm not meaning to. But if you're being comfortable for listening is very different, at least your idea of how would be more comfortable for listening is very different than your meditation posture, then, you know, we might want to talk about your meditation posture at some point. Yeah. If you think that meditation is doing something other than being comfortable and being able to listen deeply to your experience, then, you know, you might want to adjust that definition of what you do in meditation. Are you doing anything else in your meditation than really skillfully listening to your experience in a way that you can be comfortable, yeah, with the maximum amount of contact, information, sensations you experience? Yeah. So just question, what would be the most comfortable posture for you? And feel free to take that posture right now, yeah, for whatever it is. So if you want to be leaning against something, adjust it. Yeah, there's walls around here. There's things like this. Yeah. You can go and lean if you want during the talks. Some teachers might say things like, you know, you can't lie down during a Dharma talk. Yeah, you mustn't lie down during a Dharma talk. Other teachers would actually point out that you actually can't lie down. The you that we think I am, I can't sit on a chair. You know, the I doesn't actually do any of these activities. The you doesn't lie down. So your body can take this posture, but actually quite literally you can't take a posture. And what is this you that can or can't lie down? But we might ask a different question, which is, like, why would someone say you can't lie down in the Dharma hall while you're listening to a talk? Yeah. And so, yeah, obvious thing would be, because you might fall asleep. You know, maybe in some time in the past, they've had that experience. Someone lay down listening to their Dharma talk, and it was a really good Dharma talk, and they were just frustrated because there was somebody snoring and not listening. Yeah. So the posture that we take affects the energy in the body. Yeah. And there's like a moral in this story, which is that if you notice there's not a lot of energy in your body. Yeah? So in your meditation, you bring that sensitivity up to notice there's not a lot of energy in my body. Yeah. I'm tired. Yeah. Or there's a felt sense of there's tiredness. The conclusion, normally, our habitual conclusion is, I think I'll have a lie down. Yeah. And so what you notice we're doing then is taking a posture that has very little energy in it as a response to a condition of having very little energy. Yeah. Like, I think a meditator wants to be a bit more creative, you know, a little bit more productive. And we might say, oh, I notice in the body there's not a lot of energy flowing. So what I'm going to do is stand up. Yeah. Or maybe I'm going to imagine brightness. Or maybe I'm going to increase the intensity of my attention so it's really present in here. Yeah. You notice that you can do that, right? You can change your experience. You can generate energy into your being, into your system right now, yeah? In the intensity that you're listening to your experience. You can bring yourself more awake. And it's just like in layers and layers. We're adding into the recipe. Yeah. We're developing this experience into more energy. Does that make any sense to anyone at all? And yet you notice the habitual mode would be, oh, there's not much here, I think I'll lie down. And then what does lying down do? It relaxes, it grounds, it dissipates, it sinks down the energy. Right? A really skillful response when we have a lot of agitation. You know, we have too much energy in the system. So what I'm saying, make yourself comfortable for listening. What I'm also inquiring or investigating or inviting you to see is, how am I right now? How is the energy in your body right now? And what would be a creative response to that? Yeah. And you can see for yourself, there's endless combinations. But if you are feeling really agitated right now, then maybe something much more restful, much more relaxing would be helpful. If you're feeling really kind of drifty and sleepy or whatever, yeah, you can stand up. This isn't going to be a long talk. Yeah. Going to go up until about 9 o'clock. So you can stand up for that long. You've stood up for that long before. If that's what the body needs, if that's what the mind needs, yeah, you can really feel free to do that. Now, everything that I just mentioned there is only possible because experience is empty. Yeah? So what do we mean there? It's not fixed. Yeah, we come in, we check in, low energy, okay. Let's get it going a bit better, right? I'm not a flat battery. I can charge myself up. I can get myself going again because it's empty. It's not fixed. Nothing is fixed. It's all arising from the relationship. And yet the way we live, the way we view ourselves, the way we view other people, the way we review these flowers, yeah, things are fixed. Oh, this is how they are. And then very quickly get a nice fixed definition. Now I can move on to the next thing. But we can drop into this space and say, these are not flowers. Yeah, these are not flowers. They're definitely not flowers. What are they? And you start to look, it brings more interest, brings more engagement with these. And we find ourselves in certain places, in certain roles, and doing things. I am a teacher. I'm teaching them something. Yeah. And then if you all decide you've got nothing to teach us, you know, get up, walk out, this talk falls apart, right? I know, I'm going to keep it going. I'll talk to an empty room. I don't need you guys. Of course I do. Totally dependent on you. Yeah. To want to listen, to want to think, maybe there's something here. But that role itself then has to be dropped at certain times. Yeah. You know, and I find myself in other places where I want to learn from you. Yeah. I will drop that role. And these flowers become different things. This person becomes different things. So we shape ourselves according to our environment. And that happens naturally. And we notice that it changes over time. But the meditations engaging with emptiness do it intentionally. We intentionally start to shift things. Yeah, intentionally start to shift things. So let's go back to something simpler to start with. Yeah. In any moment, what makes up an experience? A really simple question. Anytime you're having an experience, are you having an experience right now? Are you experiencing life right now? So what makes up the experience of life? What do you need to make an experience of life? I don't know, are we doing call and response?
Up to you.
Okay. Definitely. Like sometimes Zara doesn't want me to get the crowd too lively. But if you want to, you can say what makes up an experience. If you don't want to, don't worry. I'm almost like a professional speaker now. I will just keep on and on talking. So I might just give you a microsecond. Feel free to jump in at any point.
Perception object.
Perception and object. Beautiful. Yeah. Is there anything else as well?
Feeling.
A feeling? Yeah. So perception, object, feeling.
Relationship.
Nice. Memories. Perfect.
Contact.
Nice. Breathing? Yeah. Nice. And consciousness. Yeah.
Clinging.
Mm-hmm. Some clinging as well. Yeah. So this is great. This is really great. And within all of that, I see there being kind of like two camps that we can put parts of those experience into. Yeah. Some of them I call objects. Yeah, so objects, phenomena, things that are perceived, the breath, contact, these kind of things. The objects of attention. Where is your attention landing on? Yeah. So what makes up your experience? My attention is landing on sound. So I'm having the experience of hearing. And that's part of my experience. Yeah. At any time, you can change to another object, right? You know, this is kind of the basic mindfulness practice as it's practiced, not the literal meaning of mindfulness, paying attention to things. Yeah. We'll talk about what mindfulness is another time. But like I say, paying attention to things. So pay attention to the breath. As soon as you do that, the inevitability is you will eventually become distracted. Then you become distracted. Hopefully you don't become disappointed, right? Because in that moment when you notice that you're distracted, you're actually present again. So it's actually, you know, set off the fireworks. You're here, you're present. Be happy, be very, very happy, you're present. And you have choices. Where do you want to place that attention? Yeah, so in that, that's one whole side of the experience. Where is your attention landing? Do you want it to be landing there, or do you want it to be landing somewhere else? What feels good for you? Yeah. The second whole area was more kind of subtly there in things that people were sharing. And of course, you know, yeah, you have to be conscious to be able to have that experience. But that consciousness itself has an atmosphere to it. Yeah. So you notice it has these kind of atmospheres. Habitual atmospheres of attention are pushing away or pulling towards. I'm going to get that. That's mine. I'm going to keep it. Or that is too good to lose. You know, or I don't like that. That's disgusting. I opened the door today and it's like, no, I'm going to close that door again. So, you know, we get those kinds of experiences, right? But then there are other ways of relating, other atmospheres of attention. that actually have a lot less clinging in them, right? And one of those modes that has a lot less clinging, a lot less pushing and pulling on it, is metta. Yeah. So we're saying that experience itself is empty. It's empty. It isn't one way or another way. It depends on what you pay attention to. Yeah, this present moment is full of stuff that we could be paying attention to. And we are or we aren't. So you fabricate it, you create it through where you choose to place that attention or where your mental pathway patterns, you know, lead you to pay attention. So there's possibilities to change those. But I think the much more interesting, much more transformative is actually just to change the atmosphere. Yeah. So we, let's say, having a moment of meditation, I'm breathing. Then I go off into a memory. Someone said, what if into the memory? And that memory, I notice it has this atmosphere in the attention towards that memory. So it's a memory of some past hurt, and I'm very reactive in that. But I notice the possibility I can change that atmosphere, change the atmosphere in which this memory is arising, change the atmosphere in which this body sensation is arising, change that atmosphere. And one of the really skillful atmospheres is change it towards metta. So metta is this atmosphere of kindness, of welcoming, of benevolence, of goodness towards something. Hold it in the care, right? That natural quality of our heart to actually care for each other. Yeah. It isn't something you have to develop. It's something that wants to come through when you lessen the pushing and the pulling on experience. Yeah. That natural friendship starts to arise with things. Many people here have been on many retreats. Some of you, coming in a little bit, maybe less experienced, but like I expect most of you have tasted something in meditation at some time where something opens, something released, something relaxed, yeah? And you suddenly find yourself feeling a sense of friendship towards, I don't know, like a bird or just like a tree, you know? So just like some sense of togetherness with another. Right? So you could say metta is just a natural unfolding experience of what happens when meditation starts to flow, starts to experience. And so it becomes an experience that we can bring in more and more and more. So if you're mostly familiar with metta being, bringing a being to mind, cultivating those phrases, using that capacity to generate the felt sense of wishing them to be happy, wishing them to be well, wishing them to be peaceful. That's a brilliant, fantastic practice. Yeah, really, really transformative. Yeah, and it actually sets up a wider range of pathways in which our mind can more naturally reach. But it's also a skillful practice because it leads on from there. Yeah. So metta is actually one of the expanding qualities of heart and mind. It doesn't stop at any particular limit. And so what's great about it, and what's great in the way that it reveals through an empty, fabricated world, is that it can stretch into all kinds of ways. In the way that I relate to my breath with metta. Yeah. You said this quality of relationship, an important quality in any experience, there's always a way of relating. Yeah. One of our favorite teachers, Rob Babet, would say, is always a way of looking. Metta is a way of looking at our experience. It's a way of relating to the breath, way of relating to the body, way of relating to anything at all that we contact. And so within that field, we can see there's more and more possibilities opening to us. So we'll start off this retreat being skillful about where we pay our attention, bringing it to what we intend to be attentive to. And that starts to develop steadiness of heart and mind. So important to learn that skill, to develop that skill. And you know, however long we've been doing it, there's always a little bit more steadiness we can develop. And there's actually a delightful, I would say it's a flavor of metta when we actually have a present moment intended contact experience. Yeah, so I'm intending to be with the breath. in this moment as it unfolds. And it's a moment of metta, it's a moment of friendship. And I think of it that way because here's the heart, here's the body, here's the mind. And you may have noticed they can be in different spaces, yeah? The mind, what a traveler through time and space, you know, goes back into the distant past, goes off into the future. The heart, you know, still feeling things rippling from before or rippling into the future. And bodies here in the present, just kind of, oh, I hope they come back soon. And then boom, present moment, we bring them all together. And they're like old friends, and they just fit together like a, you know, they just get together and they just hang out. Mind, heart, into the breath, into the body, listen to the sounds that are unfolding right now. Such a moment of metta, yeah? It's a beautiful gang together again, attention, awareness, perception. And more this just develops and it's delightful and enjoyable, appreciable. So it's a gift that we give ourselves. Do you say that in Hebrew? Pay attention, give attention. And yeah, that same phrase, yeah, it's something you give. Yeah, when you give something, it's generous. It's what you do to your friends. Yeah. Give that attention to your experience. It's a sign of your metta. And you give your attention to your experience. And if the mind wanders away and we go to somewhere else, before we, oh, quick, get back, we weren't meant to give any attention to that. Just give a little bit of metta. Yeah. Oh, you're also worthy of our kindness and care. But right now, we're getting the whole team together, getting the gang back together, the breath, the body, the sounds, present moment unfolding. Subtlety, sensitivity, unity. And so I'm really aware that there can be some tiredness in the room. So just once again, just lift that up. Just anytime you want to, yeah? You can just turn up, yay, brighten, happy, here again. Yeah. But I'm also really respectful of this and I don't want to go on too long. So I hope that we're getting a little bit of a sense that emptiness is not something esoteric. Yeah? It's not something to get too far off in the future. Mindfulness, just paying attention, that can only happen because experience is empty. Right? You start walking in this way, pulling on that thread of emptiness, emptiness, emptiness. Where's this going? What's inside of all of this? You can go on that journey, yeah? But it starts right here. If you can bring metta into a relationship, the way you relate to yourself, the way you relate to others, it's only possible because it's empty. It has possibilities. So the main idea for me through this retreat is remembering possibilities. Remember possibilities. Right, we'll get fixed. Fixed sense of myself. Fixed sense of what I can do. Fixed sense of what can happen here. Well, maybe not. Maybe I just haven't opened my eyes, opened my ears wide enough yet. Let's take a moment, take a breath, get the gang together, and remember possibilities. All right, thanks. That's what I wanted to share this evening. Wish everyone a really beautiful retreat. And you know, you weren't meant to get everything tonight, so if you didn't, that's totally right. If you did, that's fantastic. You're ahead of the curve, and I'm your student. Teach me. Thank you.